This RRFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this radio show we call Eudaimonia. You know you have a date with me every Monday afternoon about 1 p.m. to talk about healthy lifestyle, basically. We're talking for months now, giving you tips how to improve your life. I hope you are doing some changes you have started to do to start moving things in your life, to eat a little bit better, to try to rest a bit more, to be more conscious about when how you eat, and which when you choose, when you go to the supermarket and you have to choose what you want to buy, what you want to eat, probably be more aware about the nutrients, which nutrients are better for you, which ones probably are not the best, something that we call occasionally eating, no, not always, and always looking for improving our lifestyle without without going too far. No, we are not looking for perfection. We need to be happy. And eating is something that we do at least three times a day, so we need to enjoy the food we eat. But again, no perfection, but probably a bit better than what we normally do. If you go out, if you go to a bar or restaurant, basically the food is more or less the same. It's normally something ultra processed, deep fried, with a lot of fat, with a lot of sugar, a lot of chemical products to improve the taste, to make it tastier, which is basically is unhealthy, unfortunately. So just be careful with this. 80% of the time, just go with something good. 20% of the time, just do whatever you want. I'm not talking about food because the topic today is, again, about food. We talked about diabetes a while ago, but it's getting more and more frequent and more problematic now. So every week I see more and more people testing positive for diabetes, and it's quite heartbreaking, to be honest. And the idea today is talking about this, about diabetes. And it's because when somebody get a blood test done and they tested positive, the HbA1c, which is the marker we use, is high. Sometimes they ask me, and what is this about? It's just because I eat too much sugar. And normally, the answer is no, it's more complex than this. Sugar is just the tip of the iceberg. So they don't really understand what they are doing wrong. Say, I don't really eat any sugar. I don't really eat a lot of carbohydrates that you will see is part of the issue. But in reality, when we go deeper and when we try to address all these pillars we use here, we realize that it's not just the sugar, it's more complex. There are a lot of factors affecting or being the cause of this diabetes. So as every week, I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to share this presentation with you. If it works, if it not works, I'm going to stop this for a second. Just give me a second while we talk. Yep. So it's not working, so that's gonna do. It's gonna restart this. Restart. Anyway. So yeah, it's more complex than just talking about, sugar.
Restart the laptop.
Yeah, I'm gonna restart it. Thank you. Yeah. So it's more complex than just talking about sugar. You will see. We will talk about the exercise. We'll talk about the stress here again, about toxins that can affect organs. We'll talk about how difficult is to choose good food nowadays. I was talking before. When you go out, most of the times the options are unhealthy, unfortunately, because it's what we ask for. I think it's easy to blame the food industry, but I think we have to share not the consequences, but yeah, you have to share that it's not just them, it's what we ask for. If you go out and you ask for healthy food, probably they will eventually give you healthier options. So we are not going to talk today about medication because it's probably too complex for this, but I want to prepare one day I will prepare something about these new treatments we have for diabetes, this GLP-1, the ones that are basically injected. It's like an injection you get every week. Typical names, we can go with brands here. So there is the typical Wegovy or Mounjaro or Ozempic, if it's from the USA. So I'm gonna prepare something like this for probably for the next month, so we can discuss the benefits and the drawbacks of this type of medications. Yeah, here we are. Good. So we have the presentation already working. So it's all about sugar. I think I already told you the answer. You know that it's not only about sugar. Obviously, sugar is what we see. High sugar, high glucose in the body is what we see in a blood test. But it doesn't mean that the problem is just the sugar. Again, the sugar is just the end of the road. It's just the tip of the iceberg. It's just it's what we eventually see when the problem is we have the problem with us. But it's not the start of this journey. And to start with the definition, just as a reminder, diabetes is a chronic disease. When we say a chronic disease, is that we can't cure a chronic disease. We can improve the symptoms, we can change how you feel, but it's impossible to cure it. It's a chronic, long-term disease. We can reverse diabetes. When we say reverse diabetes, means that the numbers can come back to normal levels of HbA1c and glucose, but we can't cure it. Okay, so chronic disease basically is that the pancreas, which is the organ we have in the middle of the abdomen next to the liver, is no longer making insulin, or is producing insulin, but the body doesn't know how to use it well. So you will see what happened. So if the pancreas doesn't work well or the insulin is not active, what happens in the body is that we get a high level of glucose. And if the level of glucose is high and it's too high for too long, we get damage. We get inflammation and a lot of organs, all of our organs basically get full of sugar, and this means inflammation. So it's this type of things that we have talked before. Bit of sugar. We need sugar to survive. We need sugar or glucose to live. But too much sugar is a problem. Not enough sugar is also a problem. So always, probably we need balance, and it's always looking for the middle, not the extremes. Too much, bad, not enough, bad again. And we normally blame carbohydrates for this, because carbohydrates are transformed into glucose in the body. You will see that not only carbohydrates, but basically carbohydrates. And what's the problem with our diet now is that our diets are full of carbohydrates, even more than 30, 40 years ago, because carbohydrates are cheaper than the rest of the macronutrients. Remember, and you probably you know this, when you go out and you order any food in a restaurant, at least half of the dish is going to be a carbohydrate. It's going to be bread, it's going to be rice, it's going to be pasta, it's going to be potatoes, it's going to be something like this. And then small portion of protein, fish, meat, eggs, tofu, And then the fat they used to cook. Most of the times, if any type of oil or butter. But they choose to put a lot of carbohydrates because you're gonna feel full, obviously, with the carbohydrates. The problem, normally high glucose, high sugar in the blood. And we have two types of diabetes, type 1 and type 2. Type 1 is the one, is more like a autoimmune disease. It's an autoimmune problem, autoimmune reaction. So we normally get this when we are still a child. And the symptoms come really, really fast, like quickly. And normally the treatment is insulin. So they need insulin to survive because we can't live without insulin. What happened here is that the pancreas is not creating, is not producing insulin. Again, because it's an autoimmune disease. So the immune system attacks the pancreas. So the pancreas gets kind of destroyed. So there is not insulin. If there is not insulin, the sugar will raise and the child will have symptoms pretty early. Okay. And the type 2 diabetes is just a bit different. It's not that the pancreas is not producing insulin, at least at the beginning. It's more how the body is dealing or using the insulin. It's more when we are adults. It develops slowly, quite slowly, and sometimes with medication or lifestyle changes is enough. The end stage of type 2 diabetes is again insulin. With the new types of medication, we don't normally see a lot of people ending up using insulin, but again, after 20, 30 years of being diabetes, if you are still alive, which is another consequence of diabetes, you might need insulin, okay? Or a person might need insulin injections. So type 1 is autoimmune when it starts quite fast and is still being a child. Type 2, adults normally adults really slow. Treatment is more lifestyle changes and medication. And this is another reminder. You know this, you know the macros, you know the carbohydrates, you know the fats, the proteins, you know all of this. You know, we get a lot of, we get energy using or eating carbohydrates and fats. Protein is more like building bricks to build new structures. And as you can see here, every time we eat carbohydrates, there is a spike of sugar. I normally use sugar and glucose as if they were the same. They are not exactly the same, but it's easy to understand for patients. So when we eat carbohydrates, glucose or sugar gets really, really high. And when it gets high, the pancreas responds with a high level of insulin as well to compensate the spike of sugar. So carbs increases sugar a lot, proteins just a little bit, let's say a third of what carbs normally do, and fats basically nothing. So the level of insulin, the level of glucose when we eat fats is basically nothing. But again, carbs, it depends on the type of carbs. If it's if the carbs are complex carbohydrates, this spike won't be so high. If it's a simple carbohydrates, yeah, we have a really high spike of sugar. And what happens when the glucose is high in the blood? Then again, the pancreas releases insulin. The insulin is a kind of key that opens the door for the glucose to go inside the cell. Most of the times, the cells that we have in our muscles and in any organ, but muscles are normally the big warehouses for the glucose, just to storage everything there. So insulin is the key, glucose enters to the cell, so the cell can use the glucose as a fuel, as an energy. But what happens when we have too much glucose inside the cell already, and there is still a lot of glucose outside the cell. So this is what we call insulin resistant, which means that as the level of glucose is too high inside and there is no room for more glucose, that the key, which is the insulin, doesn't work well. It's because the body changes, or the cell changes slightly the lock, so the key can't fit properly well. So imagine that you have a closet at home full of clothes, and you go to the shop and you buy a lot of clothes, and then you go home and there is no room unless you clean and you change, no, your clothes. So there is no room for more clothes. This happened with the glucose and the insulin. The cells are full of glucose because we are not, you will see why, but basically it's because we don't use it. So if we don't use it, the cell is still full of glucose. So if it's still full of glucose, there is no room for more. So the key doesn't open the lock, basically. So everything is more complex than just this, but I want you to understand this in an easy way, okay? Same example, insulin being the key, try to transport glucose inside the cell. If the cell is full, the key is not gonna work, okay? And then if we go farther and farther, and there is a point that we get the opposite. So the key doesn't work anymore. So the cell is not full of glucose now. It's basically low in glucose because the key doesn't work. It's like the lock is already broken. Sorry, you have tried to put the key so many times inside that after years or years or years opening the same door, I'm sorry, you have broken the lock. So we get from too much sugar, too much glucose inside the cell, so the body has to defend the cell, changing the lock a little bit so the key doesn't fit, to the, after years and years and years and years and years, what we get is basically not the opposite, but now the key doesn't work even though the cell is low in glucose. It's like a progression of the condition from lot of sugar to, okay, normal, and then low sugar, low glucose inside the cells. This is what I want to describe with this slice. And why is this, why does it happen? No, why is, which is the star or the consequences of what we do? And if you ask me which one is like the first step on this long process, for me is sedentarism. It's the fact that we don't move as we used to move, plus an unhealthy diet. And sometimes it's not only unhealthy diet, it's eating too much, too many times, and too many calories for the activity or the physical activity we do. So sedentarism and healthy diet, normally they go together. And then things that we cannot change, like genetic or ethnicity, this is what it is. Again, chronic stress is a factor, not sleeping. You will see a case of type 2 diabetes in a person who the only issue was that she couldn't sleep for years. Obesity, which is related to sedentarism and unhealthy diet, and then toxics like tobacco or pesticides. But I start with the sedentarism. Basically, this is a kind of a joke, but it's a reality. It's a picture of our society. So we spend more hours seated on a chair or laying down a sofa or something like this than walking or moving. You just need to see the roads. If you live in Masterton, it's very difficult to see somebody walking. Just walking probably from the car to the supermarket or from the car to the shop, but you don't really see a lot of people walking unless they have a dog. Thankfully for them, they have a dog, so they have to walk a little bit more, but there is not this idea that I can walk everywhere. Sometimes it's difficult if you don't live in town, but something that I tell my patients is if you are going to go to the supermarket and you don't have any joint condition, if you don't have any knee problem, just park at least 1 kilometer of 500 meters from the supermarket and just walk a little bit. Walk a little bit, because this might be the only time you're going to be walking. Just walk, just carry, carry the bags, if they are not too heavy, so you're doing a bit of exercise, if this is an exercise you're going to do. But we spend most of the times on a chair or on a sofa, doing nothing, apart from working, obviously. And with this slides, I really want you to understand that even though life is more comfortable than ever, we are still, our genes and our brain and our muscles and our bones believe that we are still living in the, where we're living in caves, for example, like 200,000 years ago. So it doesn't make any sense for our body to be always still, always resting. It's not natural. It's anti-natural. So any opportunity you have to keep your body active, just try to take it. Again, if you can walk a little bit, don't park in the same place, just move a little bit. If you have a dog, please walk the dog. If you are working and there's no way you can do anything, just take snacks of movement. And every 2-3 hours, just 10-15 minutes of active movement, even in your place. You don't need to go out. Just do squats, something. Just keep your heart active. Increase your heart rate. Just 15 minutes every 2 hours, 3 hours, sometimes is enough if you don't have more time. But being always in the same position is unhealthy. And this is the start of diabetes. Okay. So no exercise. The muscle is full of glucose. As I told you before, the cell is full of glucose. Too much glucose. The receptors, which are the locks basically, are going to disappear. So the key is not going to find the lock. The body, what the body does is increase the, or the pancreas releases even more insulin, more and more and more and more insulin, trying to find a lock. So it's a natural mechanism to compensate that there are not enough locks, so I'm going to send more keys and see what happens. And we can talk one day about the effects of high insulin in the body. Okay, so, and here you have a few of them. So you're going to gain more weight, the body's going to be more inflamed, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, some cancers and aging are related to high insulin, the mood might change, and this is not in one day, so don't worry, it's not just one day, it's a long process again. But high insulin has been linked with a lot of metabolic problems. And the start of the problem, or the base, or the start of this high insulin is just no moving, not doing enough exercise, glucose everywhere. If you don't move and you have a healthy diet, okay, you might develop diabetes, but it's going to be more difficult. But if you don't move and what you do is an unhealthy diet, it's going to be super easy to develop diabetes, because as soon as you start getting enough, a lot of sugar in your cells and not moving, the insulin is going to go high, you're going to start gaining weight, and this weight is so difficult to lose, so it's like a vicious circle there. So unhealthy diets, you know what unhealthy diet is. A lot of ultra-processed food, not enough fresh food, normally high in sugar, high in fat, all together in the same product, low fiber, lot of calories, and trans fats. The trans fats is the ones that have been transformed into something more chemical. So it's not the saturated, it's not the insaturated, it's the trans, it's the transform, the fats that have been transformed. So if you see this guy choosing, no, thinking of, I'm not sure if I'm gonna go with a fresh meal or a ultra processed meal. Again, not every day you have to do a fresh whole meal, but at least 80% of the times try to go with this. If you find that fresh food is a kind of bland, it's because probably your body is used to ultra-processed food, which is true that it's tastier. But it's tastier not because they have something special apart from chemical products. It's because the food industry made it like this. So it's a kind of addiction. If you start eating fresher, only fresh meals or fresh food, I can promise you that in a week or two, your palate, your tongue, you will start feeling the flavors again, noticing that, oh, this is natural sweet, or this is bitter, or this is sour, just in a natural way, without using any artificial or chemical product. But it takes time. Again, it's like when you are a smoker, the rest of your life, and you stop smoking, you really want to smoke again because it's the body's asking for something like this. With food, it's the same. If you eat every day chippies, for example, they have kind of flavors that your brain love it. So every day, or as soon as you go to the supermarket or a food truck, your body's gonna feel that, oh, I'm missing something, I want this. And it takes time to like overcome this feeling. But it's not impossible. Again, as any other addiction, is possible. There is a part of this problem, diabetes, that unfortunately we cannot change, is that genetics and ethnicity. If you are living in New Zealand and you are from one of Pacific Islands, or if you are Maori, chances of getting diabetes is higher, unfortunately for you. Unfortunately, any metabolic problem is, the risk is higher among Maori and Pacifica. So what we do is we need to take care of these people even more and to be closer, to be more proactive with them, if this is the case. If you are European or if you are from Asia, the risk is slightly lower. But again, Maori or Pacifica, risk is higher. And again, with something that we can change, it's difficult to manage the stress, but it's not impossible. So we need to have this into account, that some people develop diabetes, no, because they are eating bad, no, because they are not active, just because of the stress. And this is because stress increasing cortisol and adrenaline. So more cortisol in the body, when the cortisol is high in the body, it's a signal that we are in danger. Okay? And when we are in danger, there is a normal reaction, a natural reaction in the body to keep the level of sugar a bit higher in the blood. Just to be sure that if we need to put glucose or sugar inside the cells, like inside the muscles, they're gonna be enough. It's a natural mechanism. But if this lasts for too long, like for years and years and years, having the cortisol high, having the glucose high, is gonna make your insulin high again. If the insulin is high, remember what happened. The key doesn't work. insulin resistance, and this is gonna go to a chronic inflammation. So this would be the steps. A bit of a stress, perfect, no problem, even healthy. Again, extremes are bad. Bit of stress, perfect. A lot of stress, problematic. You will have problems. Every time we do exercise, the body gets slightly stressed. And this is normal, and this is why the glucose is a bit higher, because we are doing exercise, the body doesn't know when you are gonna stop, so it keeps the level of glucose slightly high, just to help you, no? You don't want to be in the middle of a race and suddenly feel that you can't move anymore. So the body, as a natural mechanism, increases or keeps the glucose, the sugar, slightly high. But when it's not a race, when it's not a short period of time, that is, your life is so stressful, that your cortisol and adrenaline is constantly high, the end of this history is chronic inflammation. And chronic inflammation means basically damage in all your organs. Again, it's not one day, don't worry, but it will happen. And this is the example about insomnia, about not sleeping for a while, that I told you about. It's a female, it's a real patient. It's a 70-year-old female with pre-diabetes, no diabetes. It's like the step before diabetes, pre-diabetes. Super active, doing exercise every day, walking, cycling. Super active with healthy diet. And I know, because I know her really well. So healthy diet. And apart from walking and cycling, doing a lot of exercise, but 30 years without sleeping more than 3-4 hours a day. The typical pattern that she falls asleep more or less easy, and then she normally wakes up about 2-3 a.m. and then broken sleep until 6-7. So this is a problem that we see, unfortunately, more often. And again, if you don't sleep for one day or one week, even one year, it's horrible. You're going to feel horrible, but I mean, it's okay. The body can deal with this. We have mechanisms to overcome this. But if it's 30 years or even more, it's the same as if the body was stressed. So the same mechanism. Not sleeping, high cortisol, high adrenaline, more sugar, more insulin, insulin resistance, chronic inflammation. So it's the same type of mechanism. Why? Because not sleeping is anti-natural, and again, the body feels that we are in danger. And as we are in danger, we don't sleep, just waiting for the threat, no, to attack us. If it's a lion, or if it's fire, or if it's something. So as we are in danger, we're gonna increase the cortisol, and if we increase the cortisol, we're gonna keep the sugar high, just in case we have to run. And again, it's normal, natural mechanism, but it's not helping, for people with insomnia. And obviously, if you don't eat well, if you don't move, and if you are stressed, your insulin is high, you're gonna gain weight, and you will get this problem that we call obesity. Obesity. Again, inflammation, the whole body keeps inflamed, and I wrote here hormonal dysregulation, which is all the hormones are affected, but one in particular I normally see is the thyroid. So a lot of people with pre-diabetes or diabetes, they also have thyroid problems, because all the hormones get a bit crazy with obesity, with sedentarism, with unhealthy diet, with stress, okay? And something that sometimes we don't really link to or with diabetes is the fact that tobacco and pesticides, herbicides, heavy metals, are also problematic. It's also an issue we see these days, and plastics that is getting more and more frequent. So again, it's the same mechanism. It's not that it's a different one. It's the same. It's the body being inflamed or feeling that something abnormal is going on. And when something abnormal is going on, the only way we have to fight against this is increasing the cortisol. Increasing the cortisol, increasing the adrenaline, increasing the sugar, just in case we have to run or we have to fight. So again, same mechanism, different ways to get the same, to the same place, but all of them are basically ended up in the same problem. That is insulin resistant, inflammation, pre-diabetes, diabetes. So let's gonna do an exercise to see if you understand what insulin resistant means. So we have two people here. We have Alice and Mary, and they are having breakfast. And if you are watching this on video, it's gonna be easier. If not, don't worry. I'm gonna try to explain this to you. So both Alice and Mary blood sugar. It's 80. So we measure the sugar and it's 80. And we can also measure the insulin. And for Alice, it's 10 before the breakfast or before anything. And for Mary, it's 30. Okay. Sugar is the same. Insulin in Alice is 10. In Mary's is 30. Both of them are going to drink the same glass of orange juice. Same glass. So after the glass of orange juice, we check the sugar again, and both Alice and Mary levels of sugar are 100. So there is an increase in 20 points, both of them. But the insulin for Alice, it went from 10 to 30. And in Mary's, it went from 30 to 70. So who is insulin resistant? What do you think? Who is insulin resistant? Is Alice or is Mary? Remember that I told you that when we are getting insulin resistance, as the keys, which is the insulin, doesn't work or don't work well, the keys, the pancreas releases more insulin, just try to help, because it's like, I don't understand what's going on. It seems that is the insulin is not working. I'm gonna release more and more. So what we see here is that with the same orange juice, Alice with 30 units of insulin, it's enough. But for Mary needs 70 units of insulin to deal with the same orange juice. So in this case, Mary is the one that is insulin resistant. And the idea of all this history is that if you measure your blood sugar, both have the same. Both have 100. But if you go deeper, if you go farther, you can see that even though the sugar is the same, the insulin is not the same. So one day, Mary will develop diabetes. She will go to the doctor, she will get a blood test done and say, oh, you have diabetes, or you have pre-diabetes. And probably she said, how is this possible? My sugar is always normal. I check it from time to time, and it's normal. It's the same as my friend, and she doesn't have diabetes. Yeah, because Mary was building this condition slowly, with your insulin being higher and higher and higher and higher. We can't see both of them, but probably Mary was not so active or not as active as Alice. And maybe Mary was slightly overweight. I don't know, but it's the typical pattern. Not moving enough, unhealthy diet, or even with a healthy diet, but with overweight. So this is the common thing that we see when somebody suddenly develop insulin resistance and then diabetes. So what we put everything together, we get something called metabolic syndrome. As you can imagine, all the body is connected. So if something affects the pancreas or something affects the sugar, eventually will affect the whole body. And this is what we call metabolic syndrome. So it's getting overweight, high blood pressure, insulin resistance, high cholesterol or triglycerides, and then low HDL cholesterol, which is the one you normally say good cholesterol. So insulin resistance is just like one part of this metabolic syndrome. But what we normally see when somebody develops diabetes is everything together. You start checking and say, okay, this person has high blood pressure or is on blood pressure pills. If you check the BMI, yeah, slightly overweight. The triglycerides are slightly high as well. And the HDL cholesterol, probably not the level we want. So it's a combination of things again. And again, this is not a one-day thing or a one-day problem. It's a long process. And what is more shocking for me, and it's changing the way we approach this problem, this diabetes, is that we are seeing now what we call pediatric metabolic syndrome, which is something that I've never seen in my life. When you study at the university and you study metabolic syndrome, we never talk about children. We never talk about kids because it's an adult condition. But now we see pediatric metabolic syndrome. So kids with insulin resistant, with overweight, with triglycerides in a blood test, probably not with blood pressure, not yet. But yeah, triglycerides and cholesterol not being in the normal range for a child. And this is again just because sedentarism and healthy diet. Basically these two. There is a genetic condition. There's a genetic component. It's obvious. And more here in this part of the world with Maori and Pacifica. But I'm pretty sure that this is because unhealthy diet and sedentarism. Because When I was a child, I used to spend all the time playing outside, all the time, so winter and summer. And now you see children playing, but it's more like in a structure. They go, they play rugby, they go home. They go, they play soccer, they go home. So it's not they are moving on the street, cycling, running, playing all the time. They have a structure and they follow the structure. But the structure might be 1 or 2 hours a week, no more than this, or even 3, but probably not enough. And combined with unhealthy diet. So this is the real problem. Because if you are in your 70s and you develop insulin resistance or diabetes, well, it's a problem, but you have lived for years and years and years. You have enjoyed your life, probably. So it's okay. But when you are a child, this is a burden that if we don't treat it, this child will develop diabetes. And if they have diabetes, it's a chronic condition. So there is no cure. We can reverse it, but there is no cure. Okay, so remember this. And when I like this slides because I try to compare what it was smoking years and years and years ago with unhealthy diet. You smoke one cigarette, it's not going to kill you. You smoke 20 cigarettes for 20 years, you might develop lung cancer. You eat an unhealthy diet for one day, it's not going to kill you. You eat an unhealthy diet every day for 20, 30 years, I can promise you that you will have metabolic problems. If it's not diabetes, something similar, but you will have metabolic problems. This plus being always in the same, not playing outside, just playing inside and always with a screen, it will make our society basically sick in 30, 40 years. So I don't want to be dramatic here, but for me it's the same. Now, in your mind, I'm pretty sure that it doesn't make any sense that you teach one of your children how to smoke, because it doesn't make any sense. It's just like a crazy idea. But you are teaching them how to eat. And the food they eat sometimes is not the proper one. So it's, even though it's not exactly the same, because, you know, in medicine everything is a bit more complex, it's similar. It's smoking for 20 years, 30 years, eating unhealthy food for 20, 30 years. So, just to, this is the idea I want you to bring home, is that if you don't move, if you have an unhealthy diet, you will develop the first step is insulin resistant. It's like, my insulin is getting higher. The same as this test we did, this exercise. So Mary's insulin was higher even before getting the orange juice. So no moving, unhealthy diet, insulin resistant. Step two. Step three, metabolic syndrome. Not only my insulin is high, but also my blood pressure is also high, my cholesterol is, the HDL is low, and triglycerides are high, probably getting overweight, not too much, but yeah, metabolic syndrome. From metabolic syndrome, we move to pre-diabetes. Pre-diabetes, what we see is in a blood test, sugar is high, HbA1c, which is the marker we use, is high. So pre-diabetes. And then, if you continue, if you don't change anything, diabetes. So, I like something called lifestyle medicine that has to do a lot with this eudaimonia concept. So, step one, step two, stage three, stage four are parts of this process that can be treated only with lifestyle changes. You don't really need medication. You can go with medication with somebody with pre-diabetes, but only with lifestyle changes is enough. So there are four stages that the treatment is just lifestyle changes. And just the last one is when you need medication, apart from lifestyle changes. So imagine how powerful lifestyle medicine is, that almost any problem can be treated like this. The problem is that we normally don't realize until it's too late. But now, with this information, you know, we start moving. If you move, don't worry, you won't develop diabetes, unless, remember these examples, that this person who is not sleeping, basically, or somebody with a lot of stress. But if you are stressed and you don't eat well and you don't do exercise, it's like a bomb, no? It's the perfect combination. So can diabetes be cured? No. But we can reverse diabetes. Reverse diabetes, it means that if you change your lifestyle, maybe with medication, or no, depends on the person, we can get numbers down again, like good numbers in your sugar level and HbA1c. But as soon as you change again, if you eat again the unhealthy diet, if you don't move, unfortunately, the levels will go up. This is why it's a chronic condition. This example, I normally use this example to explain this, is if you smoke for 20 years, and you stop smoking, you are an ex-smoker. A person who never smokes is not an ex-smoker. It's just a non-smoker. But if you smoke for 20 years, you are not a non-smoker anymore. You are an ex-smoker. With diabetes, it's similar. If you have diabetes, if you change your lifestyle, you improve your diet, exercise, blah, 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 and suddenly, well, your numbers are better again, you are like an ex-diabetes, but never a non-diabetes. bit difficult to understand. But basically what I want you to understand is that once you change your lifestyle, it's something that you have to keep doing for the rest of your life. So what we like is prevention. This is why we are GPs, because what we really enjoy doing is prevention. We don't really like treating unhealthy people or sick people. What we really like is prevent conditions. Prevent conditions. Okay. So it's called health centers. Health centers. No unhealth centers. Okay. We like healthy people and we try to improve all these lifestyle traits to prevent problems. Always is individual. Always it changes a lot. It depends on the person. And of course, if you have any question or any doubt, I think it's better if you ask your GP or your nurse practitioner, because they can probably help you to understand in which stage you are probably. It's not easy. We have to do a couple of tests, but I can more or less tell you, okay, remember the stage is here. Yeah, your insulin is high, so you be careful because you are like developing this insulin resistant. Oh, well, no, insulin is high, blood pressure is high, so you are more in the metabolic syndrome. Oh, well, your HbA1c starts being higher, so you are more in pre-diabetes. So we can more or less help you with this. So when I started this talk today and I ask you, do you think it's only about diabetes? Sorry, it's only about sugar? And the answer obviously is no. Here you have how many factors affect diabetes. So saying that it's just sugar is making it too simple. So how we sleep, even mental health conditions are part of the problem. Because it's very difficult to eat well or to move if you are not mentally healthy. Even the environment, if the city is not gentle for walkers, for pedestrians. How easy is to access to the medical care? How easy is to access to the clinics? How, if they are too expensive, if they are far from where you live? Other treatments that we use for different problems, genetic conditions, obesity, social economic inequities as well. So it's a very, very complex problem. But again, it's going to make it a bit easier. And if you are active, if you move, if you eat more or less okay most of the times, if you are able to sleep well, if you do a bit of meditation or mindfulness, stay calm, stay present, very difficult to develop this problem. Okay. Very, very, very difficult. Society is a bit different now. It's more stressed. Everything needs to be fast. And even the food is fast. The social medias are fast. Job needs to be done fast. Everything is fast. A lot of substances to keep us awake instead of resting. So it seems that we go just to the opposite direction. And there is no magic formulas, just healthy habits. I know that the line is going to be always longer in the part of magic formulas, but unfortunately there is not this. It's just healthy habits. I'm sorry. So I'm going to leave this. So again, pretty tough topic. Pretty tough topic. I hope it's been too much for a Monday afternoon. And sometimes I feel that I'm being a bit too dramatic, but I work with this. I work with unhealthy people. And I see this every day. I see people that they don't really pay attention to what we normally say. And suddenly, 10, 15 years later, they come and they have diabetes, and we need to go with a lot of medication, with side effects, and suddenly change your diet, change your the way you move, and it's like it's like a huge ball. It's like suddenly it's too much. So the idea is not to suffer. The idea is to enjoy, but we need to be careful of what we do and the decisions we make. And again, 80% of your time, do it right. 20% of your time, do whatever you want. But there is no other way. There is no magic solution. Okay. So we'll see you next week with more topics. Let's see. I'm not sure about the topic today, but yeah, we'll go with something probably a bit different. I'm thinking of preparing a talk about how I work with some of my patients, how I start managing the problems when somebody has something like this that is very complex, how to start, which part I think is easier to start with, all this. So I probably will prepare something like this and we will discuss it next Monday. Okay. So enjoy the rest of the week and keep dry.
Be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had it down.